Welcome, my wonderful friends. This is Faith FM Drive Time. Welcome to Big Q&A. This is the show where we respond to difficult questions concerning God, faith, contemporary religion, and the Bible. And this is our special Friday night program entitled Eden to Eternity. From creation to restoration, we explore God's plan to bring us back to His original design, communion, peace, worship, and the rest He promised in Matthew 11:28. Come unto me and I will give you rest. My name is Emily, your host for today, and joining me, as always, is my cousin and colleague, Naomi. Welcome, Naomi.
Thank you, Emily. It's so great to be here, and welcome everyone that's listening from all around Australia. Wherever you are, I hope you've had a wonderful week. And as we go into these beautiful Sabbath hours where we can rest and commune with God, I just hope you have a blessed Sabbath.
Yeah, and can you believe that it's March?
It is March.
So it's autumn here.
It's autumn, how beautiful. And today is the 6th of March, which is actually a very special day in our family.
It?
Yes, because it was my dad's birthday.
Oh.
Today is my dad's birthday. And so it's wonderful to be here on the radio talking about God, because my dad was a missionary, and his whole life, for over 50, 60 years, he was a missionary. And even when he retired, he was still sharing the gospel. So how wonderful that me as his daughter and you,
yes,
Emily, as his, what would you be, his great-great
some relative
great,
of some
great,
degree.
I guess. Would he be your great-great uncle? He would be, yes, because he's your grandmother's uncle. So he would be your great-great uncle. There you go.
Wow.
How good
Amazing.
Is that?
Shout out to David, and he is listening in from WA, and he says, good afternoon, Emily and Naomi.
Good afternoon. And also Mandy, she texted in to say she was having trouble listening to Faith FM on her car on the frequency. Actually, you're the second person to text us about that. I'm not sure what that's about, but if you go into your app store, if you've got Apple or to Google, if you've got a Samsung, and just download the app, because you can listen to that anywhere at any time, even if you are in the car. Whereas, yes, sometimes the frequency, by the looks of it, you're all having trouble with it at the moment. So I would suggest that, Mandy, and thanks for texting in, and thanks for listening, everybody.
Yes, and please text us wherever you're listening. Let us know where you're from, and yes, we would love to hear from you.
Mm.
And so, Naomi, what is a highlight for you from this week?
Well, I was in Melbourne on the weekend.
And in fact, I was too.
Is that right? And we got to listen to Walter Vyth and Martin Smith, who are from Clash of Minds out of South Africa, and they came to New Zealand and Australia, and it was a wonderful weekend. There was over 1,500 people in Belgrave,
yeah, it was amazing,
in Melbourne, and it was just fantastic.
Yeah, it was so good. It was so great to have our friends there, Bev and
yes,
Ryan and my sister Ellie.
Shout out
Ken.
To all of them. And hope that you're all having a wonderful week wherever you are, whatever you did on the weekend and during the week. I hope that everybody had a wonderful week. And tonight we've got a wonderful program where we're going to be looking at faith and how does faith change our contemporary life?
Mm, yeah,
and
it's going to be extraordinary.
It is because, you know, our contemporary life at the moment is very unusual, because there is a war going on in Iran at the moment. And so our contemporary life, I just want to say that our contemporary life, faith is no different now than when those in the Bible had faith. It's no different, because we've got the same God, the same ability to pray to God, the same Holy Spirit, the same ability to talk to God. And now we have the scriptures that we can read the Bible and connect with God. And so faith for me in the contemporary life, when we look at what's going on around us, as you were saying this morning, we did a chapel this morning, and Emily talked about faith, as a matter of fact, and she said something interesting, was that our faith is like a muscle. We need to exercise it and it will grow. I'm quoting Emily Sawyer.
Yeah, well, it's amazing, because I also made the analogy that everyone has a muscle. Like, I'm pretty sure, right? Everyone was born with a muscle, so everyone has faith, but it also, you must exercise it to be able to, like, really use it. don't you?
And yes, it says in the Bible that we all have it. There's a particular verse. And so that's what we'll be discussing tonight. And we particularly want to do a shout out to Grasshopper on Kangaroo Island. We just hope you're having a wonderful evening coming into the Sabbath hours here in South Australia. And thank you for listening, Grasshopper.
Awesome. All right. We have a free giveaway for all our Faith FM listeners. And so you want to get out your text app and get ready to put this number in and this code, because you will want to get this book. What is it, Naomi?
Absolutely. It's by Robbie Bergen. It's called Peace Amidst the Storm. And the number to call is 0488 808 11, and you text in our very special code word tonight is SA 404 6.
That is, I think.
Did I say 406? And so that's SA 406 to 0488 808 11. The code word being SA for South Australia, SA 406, peace above the storm. And we know that, you know, faith changes us. Even if life's storms are unavoidable, we really have peace even in those storms. Why is that possible? Because we find our peace in Jesus Christ. So here, Robbie Bergen has shared his personal journey. He's exploring Bible principles for overcoming stress, anxiety, fear, and through these practical insights, these powerful stories that he's got, everybody is going to be really blessed by this, because it's a step-by-step faith experiment. This book helps us, guide us to discover the peace that God promises. And that's what God tells us in the Bible. He tells us that there's a peace that passes all understanding when we just accept him. We call out to him and say, God, come into my heart, give me peace. And we can have that peace through him. So this book, I would highly recommend it. It's not very big. You could get through it in a few days. It's not very long. It's even something you could read in the mornings. 0488 808 11, and the code word is SA 406.
Excellent. And so now we are going to listen to some music, and this is Draw Me Near by Meredith Andrews. Then we will go to our great topic and our special guests.
A very, very special guest.
For your nearness, Lord, I hunger. For your nearness, Lord, I wait. Hold me ever closer, Father, with such a love I can't escape. For your nearness, I am hoping. For your nearness, Lord, I long. I have no need any other. I have found where I belong. Yes, I have found where I belong. So draw me nearer, Lord. Never let me go. Closer to your heart. Draw me nearer. Never let me go.
That was Draw Me Nearer by Meredith Andrews. Welcome back, friends. If you've just joined us, you're listening to Faith FM Drive Time, Big Q&A with Emily and Naomi. And it's really, really wonderful to have you here on this wonderful Friday evening. And we are coming to you live from Adelaide. And we have a special guest joining us that we want to introduce to you.
Yes, we're very, very blessed, listeners, to have Tim Rosenberg on the line from Perth. And he's actually, though, not from Perth. He's been in New Zealand. He's been in New South Wales. And now he's in Western Australia, our home state. Good evening, Tim.
Good evening. Good to be with you.
Lovely to have you. And we also have my brother, Pastor Daniel Hanbury. Hello, Daniel.
Hello there.
Hello. Tim, can you tell me, what are you doing here? What have you been doing in New Zealand, New South Wales, and now in Perth, Western Australia?
There was Tahiti on the way to New Zealand as well.
Oh, wow. Okay, good.
I traveled the world doing Daniel 11 seminars, explaining how the Bible has predicted the things going on in our world today. And it helps people have faith in the Bible. It helps people focus in and trust on Jesus and no longer be afraid.
That's incredible. Why does it give them faith and trust?
Well, because a prophecy that's about 2,500 years old has never missed a detail in sequence. And it's now happening in the last phases of the prophecy, and place names included are accurate.
Wow, that's incredible. And what made you start doing this? Why are you going around the world? And I understand you've been doing this for quite a while. How many years do you think you've been doing this, and why did you start?
I went full-time presenting Daniel 11 traveling in 2011, same time I wrote a book. I came to the conclusions that I'm sharing in probably about 2001, and then I spent time studying the Prove It Right or Wrong. And so when I wrote the book in 2011, I went out on a limb and said, here's what's going to be happening. In 2014, in sequence, those things began to happen.
And can you tell us the name of the book? I know that's what everyone will be thinking right now.
IslamandChristianity.org. And you can get an ebook from our publisher, Teach Publications. You can order them, and they will be printed in Australia and delivered to you.
Wonderful. So that's IslamandChristianity.org.
That's our website. The book is Islam and Christianity and Bible Prophecy.
Okay. Islam and Christianity and Bible Prophecy.
And it has a subtopic, with parallels in left-right politics.
Wonderful. And you had a question there, Daniel?
It was just my first contact with Tim, actually, as a pastor. When you're doing Bible prophecy, I notice that a lot of the literature, they go from Daniel 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, but they actually skip chapter 11, and they go straight to the last book, Daniel chapter 12. And I had noticed in some of the literature, I'd noticed this name, Tim Rosenberg, kept coming up. And I hunted down his contact details. And we had a really good conversation. I'm not too sure if Tim remembers this, but it was around the 2011 mark. And he so kindly sent me his PDF of his unpublished book. And that really got my interest, plus his humbleness in actually revealing this journey. And I've been very grateful ever since. And so it's actually nice to meet him in person for the first time as well. And it's just opened up something that's been missing. There's been a gap there. The gap's not in the Bible. It's just our hesitancy in actually looking at a particular chapter.
Yeah. And the amazing thing about this chapter is this is the chapter that it says is about the time of the end. It's the only one in Daniel that actually explains the time of the end. Mm. And people that talk about the time of the end ignore the prophecy about the time of the end. That makes no sense to me. That's why I'm determined to share it with the world.
And what would you like to share with us now? What is it you need us to know?
For the average person out there, they're wondering what's going on in the world. And in Daniel 11, you have a series of kings from the north. The king of the north is the power that invades Israel from the north. And in Daniel, first you have Babylon that comes from the north, and then Daniel 11, it picks it up with the Medes and the Persians. They come into Israel from the north. The Greeks come in the north. Alexander the Great comes in from the north. Then the Greek Empire splits four ways. He cares about two, north and south, Seleucid north, Ptolemy south, and Jerusalem and God's people get caught in the middle. Now, the point of the place and the people is important, because Daniel's prayer in 8 and 9 was repeatedly asking the question about the place and the people. And some people argue it's about the place. Some people talk about a globalized people. The point is, in the prophecy, it's about both. It's not an either or. So then Rome conquers the whole area, and Jesus, the Prince of the Covenant, dies for your sins and mine. And so it is actually a chiasm, which is a Hebrew structure that focuses on a central point, and that central point is Jesus in this chiasm. It's an amazing chiasm. And then Rome divides, and Islam comes into Jerusalem from the south, and papal-led Christianity strikes back with the Crusades from the north. And the Daniel 11 prophecy said there will be three parts to that conflict. Verses 25 to 28 describe the Crusades. Then he's going to return and head south again later, and he's going to be stopped by ships from Cyprus. That's during the Ottoman Empire. The Battle of Lepanto describes several things that just match perfectly in that sequence. Then the time of the end conflict. Oh, let me go back to the time of the Ottoman Empire.
Yes, please. That'd be good.
Going into the Battle of Lepanto, both the Muslims and the Christian fleets, the people on those fleets believed they were fighting the battle of Daniel 11, 29, and 30, and they were.
Wow.
Many people think this is new, this understanding of Daniel, but it's actually been around a long time. The first known person, and I forget the guy's name, but the first known presentation of Islam as the king of the south was in 695. Remember, Muhammad got his message in 612. So this is just like 80 years after that. It's already being identified as the king of the south in this prophecy. Then after that second conflict, you have the third and final that says that as at the time of the end, and the king of the south will push against the king of the north again. And this time, the king of the south gets divided into three parts. The radicals are overthrown. The moderates follow traditional Christianity, and some follow Jesus in the Bible. And by the way, all over the world, and that's a whole other area we could get into, at this very time that all this Islam-Christian conflict is going on, you also have the gospel going into the Muslim world. Mm-hmm. And they're not all becoming Christians. What they're becoming is followers of Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and the Bible is their authority. Just like you have Messianic Jews, you also have Messianic Muslims now.
Mm.
It's a fabulous development.
And I think it was Hippolytus who wrote that about the king of the north, king of the south, and that was one of the earliest Christian commentaries. For people who are perhaps new to this, how would they be feeling right now because they don't know this? Those of our listeners that have tuned in, perhaps they don't know anything about Daniel. They don't know anything about the prophecies you're talking about. Right now, obviously, we've got the war in Iran. What would it be that you would like them to know in terms of what has happened in the past, what is happening now, and I guess moving forward to what is going to happen?
So what people need to know, this is the third and final conflict between Islam and Christianity. It's the final round. I cannot tell you how long it will be, but I can tell you it's the final round.
How do you know that?
Because there are only three conflicts in Daniel 11, and we're in the third one.
Mm.
We had Arab caliphates with the Crusades, Ottoman caliphates with the Turks, and the time of the end caliphates. Each time a caliphate was formed, oh, I should explain a caliphate for your listeners.
Yes, please.
A caliphate is led by a caliph who claims global and religious power, both politically and religiously.
Mm.
Mm. All right?
So like a joining of church and state.
It is.
In both not just governing us, but also being our religious conscience.
But the Pope claims political and religious power globally. And they both feel that they're going to rule the whole world someday, so there's not room on the same planet for both of them.
So what's going to happen there then?
And so Arab caliphates, you get the Crusades. The Pope calls for war and gets the Crusades. Ottoman caliphates, the Pope calls for war and gets what's called the Holy League. At the time of the end, you'll have another caliphate, and the Pope would call for war. The thing of it is, in 2014, we have the Islamic State Caliphate, which is a Muslim Brotherhood caliphate, which originates from Egypt. And Daniel talks about Egypt in this prophecy. And so you have the Muslim Brotherhood caliphate of the Islamic State in 2014. And if it's the third and final conflict, the Pope would call for war, except he already did 5.5 weeks after the caliphate was formed. On October 7, he called for military action. And in 36 hours after his call, the United States bombed the target for the very first time.
And what target was that?
Oh, the Islamic State, the caliphate in ISIS,
in
Islamic
ISIS.
State.
Mm. You've been talking about this for a long time, and I understand now that you've, in this round, when you've come to Australia and New Zealand and, as you said, Tahiti, you've been getting a lot of emails and a lot of people texting you and that from America. What is the main discussion that they're saying to you? Is this new to them? Have they to have questions? What is the main flavor of what people are feeling?
Oh, that's a very wide spectrum of messages. One of the things I should point out, some people are wondering if I'm making this up as we go, and I'll remind them, we wrote the book in 2011, and we're right on track.
And that's the book we just mentioned, listeners, which is called Islam and Christianity.
Yes, but I will say we've updated the book twice.
Uh-huh.
And the reason we have to update is what we have said is coming is now happening, so we have to document it.
And I just want to point out to the listeners that this is from the Bible. It's not your opinion. It's from the Bible. Is that correct?
Correct. And we go sequentially. An interesting thing is you can go to the Bible prophecy seminars and they bounce all over the place and they put together a scenario, a sequence of events. You go to another one, they bounce over differently and they have a different sequence.
Yeah.
How does your average person know which one is right? And sometimes they just give up and say, it's too confusing. I don't know. The amazing thing on Daniel 11, it gives us the message in sequence. And I do not break the sequence anymore. Did you catch that?
Yes, say it again. For those
anymore.
Anymore. You do not break the sequence anymore. What do you mean by that?
As I was developing this material before I wrote the book, I was doing a prophecy seminar in a neighboring church up in the mountains in Idaho where I live. And I had developed a 10-day seminar and I was presenting it, and I was probably midway through this seminar. I was giving closing prayer, and it was not in a sequence. It was just a Bible prophecy with some Daniel 11. And while I was praying, I heard God's voice talking to me. And I don't say that I hear God's voice all the time, but there have been several times in my life I've heard it in very important moments. And here's what I heard. What do you think you're doing? That's not what you want to hear when you're preaching or praying.
No. What were you doing and what do you think it meant?
My answer was, Lord, I think I'm working for you. And he came right back with, then why are you using your outline and not mine?
Wow.
And what was his outline? How did it differ?
Daniel 11. I knew on that moment he wanted me to start in Daniel 11:2 and end in 12:3, which was from Daniel's time all the way to God's kingdom into eternity. And instead of bouncing around and picking my own outline and my own order, that I had to stick with exactly the outline and the places God's talking about.
And that outline, again, you said it ended in Daniel 12, verse 3. What was the beginning?
It starts in 11:2 and it ends in 12:3. That's the prophecy in that section. And before and after, it's just additional information. But the prophecy is 11:2 to 12:3. And it has never missed a detail in 2,500 years in sequence.
Wow, 2,500 years. That's incredible. So listeners, if you've just joined us, we've got Tim Rosenberg with us, who is an international speaker and author. That book that he has written is called Islam and Christianity in Bible Prophecy. And we will give you later in the program the way that you can get hold of it. If you are in Perth in Western Australia, tonight, he will be speaking at the Seventh-day Adventist Bickley Church, which is in the hills. You can text us in if you want more information about that. He'll be speaking tonight at 7 o'clock. He will also be speaking tomorrow as well. He will be speaking at the church in the morning. There's three programs, then there's a free lunch, and there's two afternoon programs. There's also a program on Sunday night and Monday night. So those of you who are in Perth, or perhaps listeners, if you've got relatives or friends there, let them know that. We are just going to go now to a song, and we will be back in a moment. So don't go away. We'll be back with Tim Rosenberg and Pastor Daniel Hambury.
And here is Lift Up the Trumpet by Fountain View Academy.
Jesus is coming again, coming in glory, the Lamb that was slain. Jesus is coming again. Tell the vast wandering throng, Jesus is coming again. Tempests and whirlwinds, the anthem prolong, Jesus is coming again. Jesus is
was Lift Up the Trumpet by Fountain View Academy. Welcome back, friends. You're listening to Faith FM, Drive Time, Big Q&A with Emily and Naomi. And we have been joined by some special guests. And I'll flip it over to you, Naomi, to continue on with our wonderful discussion.
Yes. So if you've just joined us, we're talking to Tim Rosenberg, who is an international speaker and author. He has just come from New Zealand and New South Wales, and he's now in Western Australia tonight. So if you're in Perth, please go along to the Bickley Seventh-day Adventist, which is in the Perth Hills, the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And he'll be speaking there at 7 o'clock tonight and from 10 o'clock tomorrow, Sabbath morning, and also a free lunch, and in the afternoon two programs, and Sunday night and Monday night. The book that Tim has written is called Islam and Christianity in Bible Prophecy. And so we're very, very pleased to have you with us, Tim. I want to ask a question. I want to ask, who is the King of the North and who are their allies?
The King of the North goes through phases in Daniel 11. And after the time of Jesus, it goes from Rome to papal-led Rome, the Holy Roman Empire. So we have the Holy Roman Empire with the Pope as the leader. I'm not talking about all Roman Catholic people here, because we are talking about systems. And the amazing thing is, in this prophecy, it's easily demonstrable to me, at least, that you've got people from everywhere that end up being true followers of Jesus in the Bible. You get them out of Christianity, you get them out of Islam, you get them out of Judaism. There are going to be groups out of all these that truly follow Jesus in the Bible, and that's what we all need to be focusing on, no matter what our background is. But the papacy is the King of the North. It led in the attacks in all three of the conflicts. It called for the Crusades, called for the Holy League during the Ottomans, and the Pope, in August 7, 2014, called for military action against radical Islam with the Islamic State, and got it. And it was the United States that supplied it. Now, in Bible prophecy, Daniel tells us who the King of the North is, but he didn't tell us who their allies were. Mm-hmm. Although we can look in history and know that the Pope had allies in all the different conflicts. But the really interesting thing is, in Revelation chapter 13, it gives us who the ally of the King of the North is during the time of the end. Wow. And I don't have time to get into it all on this program, because we have other things to cover, but that's the United States. In Revelation 17 and 18, it also gives us that the 10 horns, the breakup of the Roman Empire, as it broke up, went in the 10 horns, the European area of it, that followed the papacy during the Holy Roman Empire. At the very end, you're going to get that same area once again supporting him. So that's the former Holy Roman Empire, or Europe. And so you're going to have papal-led Christianity, is how I look at the King of the North, with its ally, the United States, and Europe, your Western Europe that followed the papacy. Now, in 1989 and 90, you had the collapse of the Soviet Union. Who was it working together to take them down? That was Ronald Reagan and John Paul II.
Correct. Yes.
Which brings me around to the allies of the King of the South. In Revelation 11, out of the French Revolution, a power comes that would come up during the end of the Second World, the second conflict with Islam, which is the Ottoman Empire, and it would move into the third, and it's symbolically called Egypt. In other words, it's not Egypt, it's like it, and Egypt is this, the King of the South.
Which we know as atheism, is that correct? Where we get the Pharaoh in
you
Egypt?
Correct. It would be like Egypt, refusing to acknowledge God. It would be like Sodom and Gomorrah, immoral, not following biblical morality. And it would come from an area that had the Bible but rejected it anyway, just like they did with Jesus when they crucified him. And out of Europe and France, you get exactly that. The French Revolution claims there is no God. They had the Bible for centuries and ignored it, and they threw out biblical morality. But in the 1840s, right at the end of the Second Woe, as the Turks are losing power, just as it says it would come up at the end of the Second Woe and move into the third, the power out of the French Revolution Marx writes his books, Darwin writes his, and the ideas of the French Revolution explode across Europe like an earthquake, which is how John in Revelation describes it.
Mm.
And you get Marxist socialism out there.
Mm-hmm. And then you get is that correct? Atheism.
Mm-hmm. Marxist socialism is, and the radical left are mostly either atheist or downplaying God completely. Think about the modern radical left, Marxist socialism. They're mostly not Christian. Majority are atheistic. They are not following biblical morality, homosexuality, transgender, this whole thing. And they're predominantly from areas that were once Christian. It's still matching to this very day. And so the King of the North gets the United States and Europe by and large. And the King of the South, Islam, they get radical Islam and the radical left, Marxist socialist.
Mm.
And you know, today we have a term. We talk about the global north and the global south.
Mm.
The global north is the United States and the European powers working together with it, former Christian. And the global south is Marxist and socialist countries. And who are the leaders of the global south? China and Russia, which are way north. So this has nothing to do with geography so much anymore as it does with a perspective. And isn't it interesting that that perspective lines up perfectly with Daniel? Daniel, King of the North, is the global north. Daniel, King of the South, is the global south. And we talk about it every day and don't even know that we're talking a biblical prophecy.
That's very interesting. Can you explain to us, Tim, for those that are just joining, perhaps they're really new to this language of King of the North, King of the South, what does Jerusalem have to do with that? Can you explain that to us?
Okay. Remember, there's a place and a people. And so you're going to have a localized place, Jerusalem, but you're going to have a globalized people. So Jerusalem, the place, is caught in the middle between the King of the North and the King of the South. The King of the South always initiates in after the time of Jesus by pushing against Jerusalem first. The Muslims hit in 634, hit the land of Israel coming from the south. And then later, the Christians strike back with the Crusades. The Turks now push up further and the Christians strike back. But the King of the North is identified by the power that first strikes Jerusalem from the north. It doesn't matter where they go after that. It doesn't matter where their capital is. It just matters that they invade Jerusalem from the north. And the King of the South invades from the south. So in 634, the Muslims hit from the south, and then the Crusades come back from the north. So after that, your King of the North, King of the South, has already been determined. Doesn't matter where they are on the planet after that.
And is there a way of perhaps describing who they are? You've mentioned some terms like atheism, which is sort of categorized by perhaps Marxism and socialism. And you've talked about Christianity. Is there a characteristic of a King of the North and the King of the South, regardless of geography?
The King of the North tends to be Christian.
Okay.
King of the South is atheistic, Marxist, socialist, Muslim. Now, I always knew that the power of Revelation 11 coming out of the French Revolution was related to Islam. For a while, I thought it was a temporary replacement. But then I realized it comes out of the second world, moves into the third. It becomes an ally of, not a temporary replacement. And I was presenting that to scholars in 2019, 2020. And they literally thought I was high on drugs.
Why?
Because they knew that radical Islam and the radical left would never, ever work together. They're too different.
What is your definition then?
Well, my definition is they're allies. These scholars thought it would never happen. Because, I mean, just think about homosexuality. The radical left defends homosexuality and the radical Muslims kill homosexuals. They could never work together, right?
Mm.
Well, after October 7, 2023, all over the world, it became obvious the radical left and the radical Muslims were out demonstrating together.
Mm-hmm.
To this very day, it is the political left who's defending Muslims.
Mm-hmm.
So if the political left is defending them, when there's a terrorist attack, not only is radical Islam blamed, but so is the radical left.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. They're totally tied together now.
I've never thought that Kim has was on drugs or anything like that, but I found it was interesting that the attack or the questioning of this rationale that these two opposing forces would or ideologies would actually come together. And so of recent years, many of us, and I get so many questions as a pastor from those that don't subscribe to any faith belief, but they're actually finding it very fascinating that these two radical ideologies are embracing each other. And we just in Australia here, we can actually see the protests and stuff, and the thinking persons, you know, if they were in the other country that they're defending, they would not be accepted. Yet there's this embrace of it, and this clash of these two ideologies as if they're long friends has actually startled a lot of people to ask these questions. What on earth is going on? It's almost like a script that is being followed, and we're basically postulating that that script is actually in Scripture.
That's fascinating.
And the reason they work together is an Middle Eastern saying, the enemy of my enemy is my friend.
What does that mean?
You see, radical left hates anything Christian. Radical Islam hates papal-led Christianity. They've been enemies since the Crusades. And so they both want to see the Christian West overthrown, so they've united against the Christian West and ignored their differences. Now, you just have to understand that if they were ever able to, which they won't be able to, but if they were ever able to overthrow the Christian West, they would turn on each other and try to destroy each other after that.
I see. Wow. That is fascinating. And listeners, if you've just joined us, we're talking to Tim Rosenberg, who is an international speaker and author of the book Islam and Christianity in Bible Prophecy. And we're looking in particular at Daniel 11. We also have my brother, Pastor Daniel Hambury, with us. And if you're in Perth, he's going to be speaking all weekend. Tim is at the Seventh-day Adventist Church in Bickley in the hills. We're going to take not a break, but we're going to listen to some beautiful music. Don't go away. We're going to come back, and we're going to conclude this conversation. So thanks for being with us.
And this is Find Us Faithful by Christian Badal.
We're pilgrims on the journey of the narrow road. And those who've gone before us line the way, cheering on the faithful, encouraging the weary. Their lives a stirring testament to God's sustaining grace. Surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run the race not only for the prize, but as those who've gone before us, let us leave to those behind us the heritage of faithfulness passed on through godly lives. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. After all, our hopes and dreams have come and gone, and our children sift through all we've left behind. May the clues that they discover and the memories they uncover become the light that leads them to the road we each must find. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we
was Find Us Faithful by Christian Badal. Welcome back, friends. You're listening to Faith FM Drive Time, Big Q&A with Emily and Naomi. And we have been enjoying hearing the biblical insights of prophecy from our guest speaker, Tim Rosenberg, and he's an international speaker and author. And we've also been joined by our relative, Daniel Hambury, as well.
Yeah, so he's my brother and he's Emily's cousin. Welcome, Tim and Daniel. It's been an amazing time tonight to be hearing this. We're talking about Daniel 11, if you've just joined us, and terms which are the King of the North, the King of the South. And I'd like to come to you now, Tim, and ask you, what does this all mean for us now? What is happening now with this war in Iran? And should we be afraid?
We are looking at the final conflict. I can't tell you how long it will take, but I can tell you the outcome and why we're already in it and why we don't need to be afraid. In this prophecy, the land of Egypt will be overthrown, but there's also a globalized people. That's radical Islam. 1920s, radical Islam came out of Egypt. Libya and Ethiopia will follow the King of the North. There's going to be Muslims that end up following the King of the North powers. And then Edom, Moab, and Ammon, which is in current Jordan, will escape. And the only people who escape at the end are those who are in the Lamb's Book of Life. So you can look at Islam and their allies and know that the radical Muslims and the radical left will be overthrown. Moderate Muslims and the moderate left will follow traditional papal-led Christianity. And Revelation 13 says, and all the world follows them. That's coming. And some from all these groups will follow Jesus in the Bible. So we have hope, because what happens right at the fall of radical Islam is the greatest evangelistic opportunity of all time. Mm-hmm. If you doubt that, you go back to the French Revolution. At the fall of the French Revolution, there was an evangelistic explosion. At the fall of the Turks in the 1840s, there's an evangelistic explosion across the world. At the fall of the Soviet Union, 1989 and 90, you have a two-year explosion of evangelism. So God gave us taste of this all the way along the line. But this time, instead of being spread out, we're going to have a collapse of radical left Marxist socialism and a collapse of radical Islam at the same moment. It is going to be a spectacular opportunity. And because in the Muslim and Marxist socialist world, which is mostly what's called the 1040 window, the area where Islam and Marxist socialists make it very difficult to share the gospel, that area is going to be blowing wide open, just like the Soviet Union did. But We are already in the World War III between the global South and the global North. You see, you have the war in Israel. Hamas attacks Israel. Their allies were Iran, Syria. They also had as allies China and Russia. And hey, that's Marxist, socialist, and Muslim. What allies does Russia have in Ukraine? Iran, China, North Korea, Syria. It's the same war. We have a global North, global South war going all over the world. In the United States, demonstrations going on in Minneapolis, Minnesota, pro and against immigration and the battles going on in the streets. That's global South and global North. It's happening in Australia. It's happening in France. It's happening all over. And Daniel Levin says the king of the South, global South, will really hurt the king of the North, but the king of the North will destroy the global South in this thing, the king of the South. And I'm using the terms interchangeably. And so we don't need to be discouraged because we are about to see the greatest opportunity of all time to share the gospel. And what's happening is the global North has just taken out, under Donald Trump in particular, who says he's going to eradicate radical Islam and the radical left from the face of the earth. I don't know if he's the one that actually does it or not, but he says he will, and the prophecy says it will happen. By the way, that doesn't make him good, doesn't make him bad. He's fulfilling prophecy, and the king of the North and the king of the South both do evil. So you don't want to be in either one of them. You want to be in the middle, loving people on all sides. Because the global South doesn't like the North, and the North doesn't like the South, that means you can't be there if you're a true follower of Jesus. Just like Jerusalem, God's people get caught in the middle. And so look what's happening. The global North under Donald Trump as leader, and in Revelation 13, the U.S. leads the world. He's taken out Venezuela, and he, along with Israel, Hamas is severely damaged. Syria was taken out. Hezbollah seriously damaged. Iran is on the ropes right now. Cuba's on the ropes right now. Notice one after another of China and Russia's allies are going down in the global South. The king of the North is on a roll now. The king of the South is pushing back really hard. But what we're seeing in Iran is that the radicals are about to be taken out, it appears. About 80% of the people of Iran are moderates. They don't even like their government. But right now in Iran, if you smile because the Ayatollah was killed, they can put a bullet through your head on the street without a trial, without question. And there's somewhere around 130,000, according to my contact on the ground in Iran, that have been killed, not the 30 or 40,000. So this is brutal stuff. Radical Islam's on the ropes. It's probably going to go down. The moderate Muslims are now so angry at Islam that they burned hundreds of mosques to the ground during this time. And they want to become allies of the United States and Israel.
Why do they want to become allies with Israel and the United States?
Because they see freedom, and they want that freedom, and they want to be able to have the freedom of choice, wear what they want, believe what they want. Now, remember, Daniel says the radicals will be taken down, the moderates will follow the king of the North, and some will follow Jesus in the Bible, and that is exploding. People are turning to Jesus in the Bible in Iran. My complete feeling is we are seeing in Iran a microcosm, a sample from God to get our attention of what's going to happen across the Muslim world right afterwards. And if you think ahead, if Iran becomes an ally of the United States and Israel, their oil industry will be rebuilt quickly, and it will be supplying not the global South now, but the global North. That's going to be major. What's going to happen is the Muslims, the moderate Muslims all over the world, will have an illustration of what could happen for them.
So, Tim, that is incredible what you're telling us. And I think what's amazing to me is in the Bible, Jesus Christ, when the apostles say, well, how do we know when the time of the end will be, like when you're coming back? And he described a lot of turmoil, and he equated it to the birth pains of a mother. And for those of you who've had children, I haven't had children, but I do know witnessing my sister having a childbirth, that the labor pains come at certain times, and towards the end, near the birth, they get closer together and stronger. And so for people listening now, I guess you can hear for what Tim is saying that it's not just one particular place on earth that this is happening. There's many different wars happening, and also the protests which are in countries like Australia and England, France and America. Would you agree with that, Tim?
Oh, I don't have time to go into it, but I actually have a time chart of the contractions, and they are getting to get closer together dramatically so, and they're getting dramatically more powerful.
Mm. Because many people might be listening going, oh, well, this is just another person coming up with another idea. But we do know that with Bible prophecy, it's been there. It's not just particular to the Seventh-day Adventists. There were many, many people over several ages who wrote about it. And to me, I equate it to the fact, well, in Perth, if you want water, it's the water corporation you have to go to get water. And so today, it's the Seventh-day Adventists who are leading the way with Bible prophecy for Daniel and Revelation. And I would just, you know, encourage the listeners, if you want to know more about this, obviously it's a very big topic, and Tim has been incredible to just, you know, give us a drop in the ocean of to open our eyes to what's happening using scripture. And so I would say, if you're in Perth, get along tonight to the Bickley Seventh Adventist Church, which is in Heidelberg Road up in the hills, tonight at 7 o'clock and tomorrow at 10 a.m., which will be an all-day program. Or if you're not in Western Australia, if you're any other state, go and knock on the door of a Seventh-day Adventist church or ring a Seventh-day Adventist pastor. For us here at Faith FM, contact Faith FM. We will put you in touch with people, which could be Emily and I, to study Daniel and Revelation with you. Tim, if I could just ask you, what should Christians do now? We are Christians. What should we do?
Yes.
And can you tell us why we should not be afraid?
Should we be afraid of an opportunity to share the gospel?
No.
We are looking at, it says it's tidings from the east, tidings from the north in Daniel 11. Revelation calls it the loud cry. When more people are going to come to Christ than in any other moment in Earth's history. Why should we be afraid? If we're trusting Jesus,
wonderful,
where he is. Hey, if somebody kills me, next thing I know, I'm going to be with God. I'm not afraid of that. I go in and out of Muslim countries, okay? I deal with this. But why should we be afraid of sharing the gospel? I can just tell there are Christians in North America and Australia that are afraid to get laughed at. I tell them to get over it. They're afraid they don't know the answers. I tell them to get over it. I said, we've got brothers and sisters across the world who are risking death every day, and they're sharing the gospel faithfully. Get over your fear. Perfect love cast out fear. Jesus loved you. He died for you. He washed away your sins. Now we can live without fear because he's got it.
Correct.
He's got us in our hands. He's got a mission for us. And we are right to the point of this is it. Daniel 11 is the warning flag, the wake-up call to give the last warning message. Then the Christian king of the north will then persecute true Christians that are following Jesus in the Bible. If you wait for persecution to wake up, you've missed your opportunity to share this last warning message. The sign is the fall of radical Islam, and God's giving us that sign right now in the Middle East war. And anytime somebody has a concern or a question, what's happening in the Middle East, God just gave us an opportunity to share that he's got this. We're right on track. Jesus is about to set up his kingdom with no more pain or suffering, and that's what we've got to get to people, and that they don't have to live in fear because Jesus has it. He has our sins. He has our present. He has our future. We don't need to worry.
And I've had the same experience with non-Christians, and they've actually come to ask me, knowing that I'm a pastor, and they've asked that question, is this the end of the world? Is this World War III?
It is.
And when sharing just little brief snippets of this sort of stuff, their countenance actually changes. In fact, there are some Muslims that are actually coming tonight. I met them and we were chatting, and I shared some little points about it, and they looked with almost shock upon their face, and they said, oh, we've never ever heard Christians speak like this. All I'm trying to say is that as you look at the script that's there, it has an ending, and that ending is not something to be fearful of. It's actually a new beginning, and that's what we're all hoping for. And so that's why I value an opportunity to be able to discuss what does the text say And many want freedom. We see the many posts from the Iranians, many of them call themselves the Persians, and they wanting freedom. They use that word. They want freedom. And the problem here, if you're not familiar with the text, what happens is that they side with a system that will also take away their freedom eventually. And so there's this push constantly, once again, Jerusalem, those faithful people of God, and we're talking in a spiritual sense here, that that they are the ones that have the true freedom, and they're not trying to hold on to their life. They want to see the life that is to come and the freedom that is offered to us by Jesus Christ. And the text is true, because we are told by Christ himself that we have this sure word of prophecy, and it's going to come true. It is coming true.
It is. Yep. We live in such exciting times.
Mm.
And I know this is brief, Naomi.
Yes.
But if somebody wants a full 10-part presentation, they can go to my website, islamandchristianity.org, and they can watch a full 10-part presentation.
Mm.
They can see where we're going to be anywhere in the world. And sometimes there'll be links to what we've said there on that site. Mm. So that's another way for them to get more information.
Wonderful. Well, we just want to thank you for speaking with us this evening here on Eden to Eternity Drive Time. And as we come into the Sabbath hours, I would just like to ask you, how does the Sabbath sustain you and Scripture, knowing what is coming, what we have seen in the past, what's happening in the present in Iran and the other countries, and what is coming?
I know that the Bible is true. It's happening in front of me. Prophecies being fulfilled. And when it comes to the Sabbath is the sign that we rest in God's works and not ours. And every Sabbath I can just relax, knowing that it's not my works, it's his works. I'm saved by his works. I live by his power. The Sabbath is just a way to relax and say, it's all yours. I trust you. I know you've got it. And he's got the prophecy. His Bible, his word in the Bible doesn't miss. It's accurate. I don't need to be afraid. And that's the good news of the gospel.
For me, the Sabbath, I've always determined or expressed it as that it's a portion of time that is set aside so that we may come aside and rest in his attainments, his accomplishments for us. And that gives us great hope. That gives us a peace that actually passes all understanding, even in the midst of all of this turmoil. So we can look forward to know that what comes next is preordained. And we have a choice to whether to be part of that and to continue to learn and to share that wonderful good news, and that is the gospel.
Thank you. Amen. Thank you, Tim Rosenberg and Pastor Daniel Hambury, for joining us tonight on Eden to Eternity here on Faith FM. And we would just ask, Tim, could you pray for us and for all the listeners who perhaps are wondering what to do next, and for the Holy Spirit? Thank you.
Yes. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you that you've given us your word. We don't need to be afraid. It's all happening. You have it under control. You've said you're going to let things go a certain distance, and then you're going to deliver your people. And so, Lord, we know you've got it. It fits. Help us to love each other like you do. Help us to remember that everybody we meet is somebody you love, if we agree with them or not. And, Lord, we also ask that you fill us with your Spirit. Enable us to live in peace with you, with each other, to be bold for you, to share your love and your truth. And Lord, come soon and bring an end to the pain and suffering. And it looks like it could be very soon. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you both for joining us, and God bless. And listeners, don't go anywhere. We will be back after this beautiful song.
Thank you. And this is We Have This Hope. That was We Have This Hope by Fountain View Academy. Welcome back, friends. If you've just joined us, you're listening to Faith FM Drive Time, Big Q&A with Emily and Naomi. And tonight is our special Friday night program, Eden to Eternity. And this is where we explore God's original plan of rest and peace for us. And so we've had a wonderful time with Tim Rosenberg and Daniel Hambry, just exploring the prophecies of the Bible and how so many of those little details have come to pass, and that we can see even with the wars and the awful things that are going on now in the world and in the Middle East, that God is coming true and He's in control. And so we want to give a chance to those who have not yet texted in for the book to do so. And we just want to give a shout out to those who have. We have Esther. She texted in for the book. Thank you for that. And also Sayudu. Thank you so much for texting in for the book. And we really hope that, and we know that you will appreciate that and really gain a blessing from that. And so, Naomi, could you share with our listeners how they can get this free giveaway?
Yes, it's a gift for you, and it's such a beautiful book. It's called Finding Peace Amidst the Storm, and it's by one of our presenters, which is Robbie Bergen. He has The Faith Experiment, which you can find on the Browse podcasts section of our app. So go there and you can listen to him. But this is the book that you can get that he wrote, Finding Peace Amidst the Storm. And the number to text is 0488 808 11. So that's 0488 808 11. And the special code for tonight is SA406, and that is South Australia, stands for South Australia. So that's SA406. And it really is a wonderful book. It's not a large book. It's actually more of a sort of a sharing book. I would call it a piece. Finding peace above the storm and amidst the storm, I should say. And we know that at the moment, there seems like so many life storms happening. They're so unavoidable, and they're there in our face. They're there on the television. They're there in our home, in our community, our schools, at work. But this book will help you to come closer to God. Robbie Bergen shares his personal journey. That's what I love this book. And he explores the biblical principles for overcoming stress, anxiety, and fear. And that's exactly what we need. And it's through practical insights, powerful stories that he shares, and a step-by-step faith experiment. And so this book helps you to guides us to discover the peace that God has promised in the Bible, a peace just like Pastor Dan talked about, a peace that passes all understanding. So I really encourage you to get this beautiful book, this free giveaway. And thank you, Julie Ann, who's just texted in for it.
And also Janelle. Also texted in for the book.
Wonderful. Janelle and Julie, thank you. I know that you will just love this. The Faith Experiment, Finding Peace Amidst the Storm by Robbie Bergen. And the number to call or to text is 0488 808 11. And that's 0488 808 11. And the special code for tonight for Drive Time Eden to Eternity is SA406. So that's SA406, and you'll get this beautiful book, Finding Peace Among the Storm. And I know that all of this week on Drive Time we're talking about faith, and you know, that was just such a wonderful discussion with Tim Rosenberg and my brother Pastor Daniel Hanbury, which is also Emily's cousin. And it was really wonderful to listen to what is happening around the world. But I love the fact that at the end he drew such a wonderful, hopeful message that the Bible is true, prophecy is clear, and the Sabbath is a sign between us and God that we can rest in. And we know that the one thing about prophecy is that it actually grows our faith, because that's what Jesus said in the Bible. I tell you beforehand so that when it comes to pass, you will know and believe. And that's what we can do, people, because we see in Daniel, if you go back to even the parts of Daniel, which talks about the statue of King Nebuchadnezzar, it describes all the kingdoms that will come from Babylon right through to Greece and Rome and to present day, the 10 toes in that statue, which actually tells us about Western Europe. And this was such a wonderful discussion, wasn't it, Emily?
That's right. And I think even though the things that we see going on in the world are not, you know, they're not good and it's terrible what's happening to these people, we can know that even though, you know, these things are happening, we don't have to be taken off guard, or it's not unexpected to us, because we know that it is, like, that God said that it would happen. It's not that he, you know, his blessing is on it, but he said that it was going to happen.
Correct. And that's so interesting, because as if you joined us at the top of the show, I did say it's the 6th of March here in Adelaide, but it is all around the world, all around Australia. And today would have been my father's birthday and Emily's great uncle, Ernest Hanbury. And it was interesting because of what you just said, that God tells us about the prophecy. So my dad talked about, he was a missionary from he was 18, and he passed away at 95. So he talked about prophecy all the time to me and to the family, and I was not really paying attention, in that I didn't take it to heart. I didn't do anything about it, but I do remember it. And what's interesting to me now that I've come back to God after all these years of being away and being an actress and being a yoga teacher and sort of doing my own thing and saying, oh, later, God, what's interesting to me is now everything that my dad said is coming to actually be happening. It's coming true, it's real. And that's absolutely extraordinary. So I'm not discouraged. If you remember, listeners, in the word discourage is the word courage. So just as Tim and Daniel spoke about being encouraged by it, yes, as Emily pointed out, it's terrible what is happening, but we can draw strength from the fact that God already warned us. This was a warning that this would happen, and that it tells us that God is real. Because how could it possibly be known in advance that the Bible is true, and that we are to draw strength from the fact that this is the point that we need to give the loud cry, which means to tell others about the gospel. And because it's the sure word of prophecy that Christians are asked to share so that others can know. And why, as Tim said, why should we be afraid sharing the gospel or being embarrassed, for heaven's sake, when other people's lives are at stake? And, you know, you don't want somebody at the end of time saying, why didn't you tell me? I wish you had told me. And we want people to know so that when we're standing on that sea of glass and Jesus has come and taken us home, that there will be people that will come up to you, Emily, and say, I heard you that day on the radio, or I got that book that you sent me, or I saw you at that cooking class when you shared your testimony, and that's why I'm here today. Imagine that, listeners, if one little thing you do of sharing that you actually are able to share that with people. I know flying back to Perth for Christmas, I met some people on the plane, Mark, for example, and I shared a book with him. I shared History of Tomorrow by Julian Archer. And then coming back, there were other people that I met at the airport and on the plane, in particular, a man whose name is Perry. And I know sharing with him, both of these men as Christians, they were really, really happy that I shared that book with them, History of Tomorrow, and also the Faith FM app. And it's really important. When we do that, it grows our faith. Do you find that, Emily?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And what you're talking about, like sharing the gospel, I found it just fascinating what Tim was sharing, that, you know, there was these great wars, controversies going on, and right after it, there was an explosion of evangelism, or in other words, a great opportunity to be able to share the gospel. Mm. And, you know, it reminds me of that saying, I don't know if I'm saying it right, but what the devil means for bad, God makes it out for good. So the devil's trying to, you know, create all these disruptions in the world, but God is using that. So when people see that, they question, and then that's an opportunity for us to be able to share.
Yeah, because just like when in 1989, when the wall did come down in Berlin for Eastern Germany, and the communism did fall in Russia, in the Soviet Union, Christianity went in. All the different churches went in, and I know that Pastor Mark Finlay, a Seventh-day Adventist minister, did go in the early times there, and thousands of people were baptized because they had no religion. Religion was stamped out. And so this will be the case across the world, where people will start to hear, as it talks about in Revelation, the loud cry, which is the last spreading of the gospel in the three angels' message. It's been an absolute pleasure tonight to have Tim Rosenberg on the program. And if you're in Western Australia, he's speaking tonight in a couple of hours in Perth at 7 p.m. And that is at Bickley Seventh-day Adventist Church, which is the corner of Broadway, which is actually where I used to live on that road, corner of Broadway and Lawnbrook Road in Bickley. And then he will also be, that's 7 o'clock tonight. Tomorrow, Sabbath morning, he'll be there at 10 a.m. and he's talking about Daniel 11. At 2:30 after lunch, there's a free lunch, a healthy free lunch for everybody. And then he'll be sharing at 2:30 p.m. the prophecy and history of Islam and Christianity. 4 o'clock, time of the End Alliance are now active. And then on Sunday at 7 o'clock, he'll be sharing again, and also on Monday at 7 p.m. So a wonderful, wonderful program that we'll all be able to hear about, because we're not there, but they will be recording it if you are in another state. And you'll be able to go to the links to find that out. If you go to islamandchristianity.org, that's islamandchristianity.org, that is Tim Rosenberg's website, and you can get the whole 10-part series that he's shared around the world, and also his book, which is called Islam and Christianity in Bible Prophecy. So that's Islam and Christianity in Bible Prophecy, which you will be able to find out all about at his website.
That's wonderful. And so we're just going to have a little break, and then we'll come back and we'll share with you a final words for tonight.
This program is made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio.
Welcome back, friends. You're listening to Faith FM Drive Time, Big Q&A with Emily and Naomi. And as we come to the close of our Eden to Eternity show for tonight, Naomi, I would like to ask you, what would you like our listeners to know before we go?
I'd like them to know that, as it says in Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So faith, listeners, is trusting God even when we cannot see the future. Yet the Bible gives us something remarkable, everyone. It gives us prophecy. And through prophecy, God reveals events before they happen so that our faith can rest on evidence, not guesswork. So I ask you to, excuse me, I ask you to pray, to read God's word, and to find a Seventh-day Adventist minister or text into Faith FM so that you can study the Bible, in especially Daniel and Revelation. And Isaiah 46:9 tells us, I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, saying, my counsel stands. And I'd really like to pray for everyone now. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we are so thankful that you have preserved this book for thousands of years, your word, your holy Bible, because it gives us the roadmap of what has been and what is to come. We thank you for the faithfulness of Tim Rosenberg and Daniel Hambry and all others, Lord, who've spent their lives studying your word to tell us about what is coming so that we will be ready, Lord, for when you come back and say, well done, my good and faithful servants, enter now into the joy of our Lord. We pray a special blessing, Lord, for every head bowed, everyone who's listening to this live or later on the podcast. Lord, please bless them all. Keep them, Lord, in your ways and send the Holy Spirit to them and send people across their paths so that they too will know, Lord, that your Bible is true and that you are coming again just as you promised. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus Christ, that you cover us all with the righteous blood of Jesus Christ that was spilt innocently for our sins so that we can have eternal life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, it's really been beautiful. And I just want to say, Julie Ann said, thank you, Naomi and Emily. I too have come back to the church after being in the wilderness. It's so wonderful to hear your stories and just to know how God has touched your lives. And I know it's just, it's really, really amazing. And it is Friday evening and it is the Sabbath, and the Sabbath really reminds us of just how powerful God is. You just look around creation, just see the intricacies, you know, just the little tiny insects and the great gigantic things that we see, you know, the waterfalls and the canyons and the mountains and even to how our bodies work.
Mm. And the sunrise and the sunsets, which are beautiful. They don't have to be, but they're beautiful.
Yeah, it's really extraordinary.
It's God talking to us, and God is calling so many people back. Thank you, Julianne, for sharing. There are so many people now who have been called back in all lands and in all parts of the world, every kindred, tongue, nation and people, as Revelation tells us.
That's right. And the Sabbath, it gives us an opportunity to be able to see these things and reflect on it and to experience God's power and just rest in his power.
So not in our own. So turn off your work, turn off the television, the things that are of the world, and go into nature or be with people reading the Bible and spend 24 hours where you are resting in the wonderful time of communion with God for the Sabbath, the temple of time.
Wonderful. And so, yes, we really encourage you to take this time over the next 24 hours, because it is the Sabbath now, starting very soon as the sun is setting. And we just thank you so much to all our listeners for listening this evening here on Eden to Eternity. From creation to restoration, this is Eden to Eternity. Until next time, rest in the promise in Matthew 11:28, come unto me and I will give you rest.
This program has been made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio.